It's Thursday, and time for us to read from your emails.
Our inbox was full of responses to our latest story about Washington, D.C. teenager Jesse Jean. Jean has returned to his inner city neighborhood. After blossoming personally and academically while away at boarding school, he'll serve as a mentor to other area kids over the summer, then it's off to college.
This is from Jacob Sullivan of Huntersville, North Carolina. When I heard the story of Jesse's progress, it brought me sheer delight. I felt like he was a member of my family. Being a black male, I know how hard it is to prove yourself to a sometimes hostile world. Jean's story gives everyone hope.
The story elicited a completely different reaction from listener Donna Edmond, who identifies herself as an African-American woman. She writes, "It is these stories that perpetuate the myth that things are getting better for black folk. They aren't. These sad and tragic stories of assimilation, of fitting into a white society, are accepted by a society that does not question what is really going on with this boy and the nation as a whole."
Our profile of Army Major Stacy Garrity, known to some as the Angel of the Desert during her time at a prison in Iraq, brought letters of thanks from a number of listeners.
Among them, Debbie Borchers of Fort Mitchell, Kentucky. "How refreshing to hear of the good deeds of those in the military rather than the abuse at their hands." She writes, "As Americans who are proud of those who are serving overseas, we need more cheerleaders as well as more to cheer about."
My profile of independent presidential candidate Ralph Nader brought in several comments. This one came from Skip Mendler, who's county chair of the Green Party in Pennsylvania. "Thanks for a balanced and refreshingly non-hysterical look at what Nader is trying to accomplish. As a county chair for the Green Party in Pennsylvania, I find myself deeply conflicted about the dilemma that our dysfunctional electoral system has forced people like myself into, and about the correct course for the Green Party to take in these circumstances. We'll see if the Kerry camp is capable of succeeding where Gore failed, in making the right kinds of concessions to Naderites so that they'll be able to cast their votes for him in November."
A moment now for a correction and a clarification. First, our book reviewer Alan Chews mistakenly said the telepathic robot Herbie, or RB-34, was featured in Isaac Asimov's short story Runaround. It was not. As astute sci-fi fans Mark Lovelace and Mike Urbanchik note, Herbie is found in the Asimov story, Liar.
And a number of listeners wrote in about this exchange between our colleague Michelle Norris and actor Tom Hanks. It had to do with a 1944 film.
And the Caterpillar movie?
Yes.
It's called Once Upon a Time.
No, it's called Curly, I swear. It's one of the movies that received like 9 Academy Award nominations and didn't win a single one.
Well, if it's any consolation, Mr. Hanks, you're half right. The film is called Once Upon a Time, but it was based on a radio play called My Client Curly by Norman Corwin. And you can thank Jed Martinez of Margate, Florida, for pointing that out. "I ought to know," Mr. Martinez writes. "Back in high school, our English class read radio scripts from a textbook, and one of the scripts just happened to be My Client Curly."
Hey, does Curly dance to any kind of music?
No, only Yes, Sir, That's My Baby.
You mean to tell me he dances to only one tune?
That's right.
He lies right down when you're finished.
Oh, sure. He's talented, ain't he?
Mr. Martinez continues, "To this day, I can still imagine hearing that kid playing Yes, Sir, That's My Baby on his harmonica while his little fuzzy friend shimmied left and right to that tune."
You can send us your comments at atc@npr.org. Please let us know where you're writing from and how you pronounce your name.